Mornings for the Master. We are glad that you have found the GospelRadioNetwork.org and hope that you'll take the opportunity today to tell somebody about the Gospel Radio Network. And let's get this word around the planet. And I have more people listening on a regular basis. For those of you that always listen regularly, we certainly thank you. We know that Miss Frieda listens faithfully every morning. My wife's always out there every morning. Mom and Grandma may very well be listening this morning up in Richmond, Virginia. We're just mindful of so many people all around that listen regularly. And so for Richard and I, we both say thank you. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll continue to listen throughout the day to the great programming. And I was telling somebody the other day about the Telstar archive that plays throughout the day, and they were amazed at just that possibility to have that shuffle going throughout the day and be able to hear somebody like Keith Mosier or Garland Elkins or somebody, even one of our brethren that's no longer with us, still speaking. So it's a great opportunity. Hope you'll be with us throughout the day. Today we have Proverbs 12 and 13 ahead of us. So if you want to be opening your copy of God's Word, we'll be studying that together. Brother Ryan did a great job yesterday with 10 and 11. And so we'll try to keep the momentum going with looking this morning at the way of the wicked is hard. And we'll have a lot to say about that here in a few minutes. But as we normally do, we try to start each Mornings for the Master, if at all possible, with a bulletin board edition. And we look at those things that are going on in our community. And so if you're listening out there and you have an opportunity coming up at the congregation where you worship, let us know about those things. Email us or get in touch with Ryan through the phone. You can call us up here. You can get in touch, as Brian mentioned at the top of the show, through the various sites that are available, office at TGRN or mornings at TGRN. But get those things to us. And let's get the word out for your event that's going on. But those things that are right here upon us, registrations and meetings and whatnot, there are several. And so, Richard, what do we got going on around us this morning?
Well, ladies have an opportunity for a Ladies' Day this weekend, Saturday, at the Blossom Church of Christ. That'll begin at 8:30 a.m. They're going to have breakfast and lunch provided. The theme is comfort, and the speaker is Nancy Wheat. Again, that is at the Blossom Congregation in Blossom, Texas. And then, ladies, I'm throw this out of order as far as the date of when it's going to happen, but the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat is scheduled for Thursday through Saturday, October the 5th through the 7th, at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp in Brady, Texas. And the reason why I want you to know now is because the deadline's coming up quickly. It's going to be September 1st is the deadline for registration. Just go to TexasLadiesInChrist.org. You can hit the register button there. You can register online. That's what they encourage you to do. But if you'd rather do it the old-fashioned way, there's also a place right there where you can print off the form, fill that out, and send your registration and fees in. For more information, as I said, go to TexasLadiesInChrist.org or call 325-600-4143. As of just lately, those registrations are filling up quickly, so reserve your spot today. Then, September 15th through the 17th, at the Granberry Street Congregation in Cleburne, Texas, Marriage and Family Seminar, What Every Family Needs. John and Carla Moore are going to be there, and they'll kick things off Friday. It'll go Saturday and then conclude. John will finish things out Sunday morning at the Bible class and worship time as well. You can go to cleburne.church/family, get information there, or call 817-517-7713. I was talking to Kevin Rhodes the other day, the preacher for the congregation, and he is excited about this event. They've been really theming their whole year on focusing on the family, and so this is going to be a culmination-type event that will take place on September 15th to the 17th. Hope that you can be there and be a part of that. And then, ladies, another Ladies' Day coming up. And this is going to be September the 23rd at the North Main Congregation in Malvern, Arkansas. The theme, Make Me a Servant. The speaker is Lisa Harris. They're going to register about 9 a.m. They're going to provide lunch, but they've asked, if possible, that you would RSVP by September 1. That way they know how much to prepare and what to look forward to. And you can do so by calling Amanda at 225-326-9179. Again, that's at the North Main Congregation in Malvern, Arkansas. And, you know, really that's all we have that's going on. If you happen to be in the Sevierville area today or tomorrow, Polishing the Pulpit's still going on. Wow. They had a great turnout this year. I think about 4,500 registrees as far as when I was there Friday that had pre-registered and signed up. So, I mean, it has grown. We were talking about it the other day when it first moved over to Sevierville, and I think it was 07, we had maybe 800, 850. Mm. And now 4,500. So it is continually growing. Great lessons throughout. And good time for family vacation, spiritual renewal, and the beautiful Smoky Mountains to boot.
Have to put that thing in the Dallas Stadium here before long if they keep going.
Right.
All right. Well, lots going on around us, and probably some things that we didn't mention. But again, if we've got something, if you've got something going on, please let us know about it. We'd be glad to talk about it on the radio and tell others about it. Also, remember that our chat window is a good tool for you to use while the broadcast is going on. And so we invite you to chime in on the conversation. Throw in your comments or, you know, just peep in and say howdy. Let us know that you're out there. We'd be glad to hear from you. And so please take advantage of that aspect of the radio as well. Remember that these shows are archived. And so if, you know, for some reason you're unable to get to the radio or one particular morning you are interested in re-listening, remember that you can go to the archives section and you can pull up, those lessons that are behind, those lessons that you missed, re-listen to them. And so the network is a great tool, and I hope that you'll use it in your everyday study of God's Word. Well, this morning, as we begin in Proverbs chapter 12, there's a lot of discussion in these two chapters. As it is entitled here, even on our scheduling, talking about the way of the wicked is hard. And so we notice that the wicked may think that they've got it made here on this planet, but, in the hereafter, when we meet our last breath on this earth, like the rich man, over in Luke chapter 16, that looked like he had it made pretty well on this earth, he would come to find out that he had squandered the life that he had here and found himself in a horrible place of torment. So as we go through this section of Scripture today, Proverbs 12 and 13, kind of keep that in the back of your mind because there's a lot said about the way of the wicked. But this morning as we begin, we'll read, I guess, about the first 11 verses together, and we'll notice comments as it relates to a good man, a virtuous woman. But ultimately, we end up again entering into the discussion about the wicked. So it's like a contrast that we can see, and we are to weigh the evidence in our minds, as Isaiah said, reason together, and come to find out that living as a good man or living as a virtuous woman is certainly well worth the effort. So if you've got your copy of God's Word together, let's read together the first 11 verses, please.
Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness cannot be moved. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are, lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks for bread. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding.
You know, I almost chuckled there at verse number one as we began. You're in the New King James, and I like the way that reads. I had a comment or two about the word brutish, you know, that shows up here in the American Standard. But, boy, I tell you, I like that word stupid, because that's exactly right. If you hate the Bible, if you hate God's Word, if you hate to be corrected, as so many people in the world today, that's just stupid. You know, I mean, you see the ability to make yourself better through correction, whether you're talking about, you know, secular things or whether you're talking about spiritual things. And so I like that rendering. You know, knowledge is acquired by instruction. And so if you love instruction, you're going to love knowledge. And there's a lot to be said about that. People spend much time in gaining knowledge, even secularly, because we see people that are, you know, getting degrees and making themselves better, making themselves of greater opportunity even to others, maybe even in the job place as it relates to that. So as you think about the opportunity to gain instruction, you know, there's a lot of pain and effort involved in that. There's late nights studying out particular words in the Bible or phrases or connecting, you know, passages together secularly. You know, there's papers to write. There's all this work that's involved in getting a degree, you know. And so we come to the realization at the end, though, when you receive that degree, or in the end when you receive that well done comment from the Lord, you'll come to find out that all that effort and all that pain, whatever the difficulty that you went through, is well worth it. You know, here we see coaches studying game films. You know, we see players watching, you know, films of the other teams. We're trying to find out how to make ourselves better and how to overcome. Spiritually, it's the same thing. We study the playbook of the devil. We see how he worked in the garden. We see how he worked, you know, in so many places. Leviticus 10, he worked in Nadab and Abihu. I mean, there's so many different places that we can see. We study his playbook so we can understand how to overcome him, because he is, as Peter says, like that roaring lion. We need to make ourselves better. And so, seeing the need for instruction, you know, we need to understand that we are in the process of making ourselves better, perfecting, completing ourselves, as it were, so many times in the New Testament. So the one that refuses that is this stupid one, in New King James, this brutish one, acting like a beast, you know, having that animal mentality, lashing out at those that would try to correct, you know. Case in point, go and read the end of the sermon account in Acts chapter 7. That's the brute beast. That's the stupid reaction of people that cannot stand the light. The dark hates the light. And so there's the example. You know, we had the responsibility to seek that which is good, seek the understanding, seek knowledge. The prophet Jeremiah, he said, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But here's the brutish person, again, New King James, the stupid person. But they said, we will not walk therein, right? Here's the one that refuses correction, the one that refuses to examine themselves, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. The person that doesn't understand the benefit of the engrafted word, James 1. And verse 21, that which is able to save your souls. Why would you refuse the life jacket? And so we're shown immediately as the passage opens this morning that hating correction is just not smart.
Well, the other time that word, actually the only other time that that Hebrew word in that form shows up in the scripture is Psalm 73:22. And there it tells us that I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you.
Mm.
You know, so like a dumb, brutish, foolish or ignorant. And I think the ESV uses stupid here in Proverbs, but it uses brutish in Psalm 73:22. That same thought, you know, as a donkey, you know, the stubborn, you know, that idea of it there is what, you know, when I look at Psalm 73, it gives us that thought that it's like a stubborn donkey that doesn't want to move and it balks and it, you know, we know how ignorant and stubborn they can be.
Absolutely. And so we're seeing immediately, you know, this contrast, the person that loves instruction, the person that hates instruction. The person that loves instruction, the good man, obtains favor, verse 2, with God, and the wicked man will be condemned. I mean, again, you know, various places that you can look at that, like Luke 16, you remember Lazarus and the rich man. You know, people generally speaking, appreciate the righteousness in people, generally speaking. And that's, you know, like the maxim, I guess. But we understand that when you think about and you can see it, you know, when you think about places like Chicago, I mean, who wants to live in Chicago? I mean, you'll be murdered tomorrow. You know, the individual that's the mayor there that's causing such a ruckus with his lawsuit against the government and things of that nature, people look down their nose at him because of the way that he speaks, the crooked mannerisms that are within the walls of the government there in Chicago. People don't want to live in those type of places. They want to live in friendlier places, right, where they feel safer. And so generally speaking, you know, people appreciate righteousness. You know, it is the fact that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so we see that, you know, the wicked ultimately are going to be condemned. They even condemn themselves. In verse 4, we read about the virtuous woman, you know, a crown to her husband, a benefit to her family. And certainly, you know, you've probably already thought ahead of me in that point at Proverbs 31. You can read all about that virtuous woman there and the benefit that she is to all that are around her, you know. And so we appreciate the good people. We appreciate the efforts that they put into being righteous. You know, we are to let our light shine, and in doing that, we are reflecting the beautiful light of Christ in our lives. And so we are the salt, and we are the benefit to this world even today. Who knows? It may be, as you think about Genesis 18 and that plea that Abraham has with God, even as it relates to Sodom, it may very well be today that the world is still standing because of the righteous that are trying so very hard today. We may be that reason that God has not destroyed the world yet. I mean, who knows? When you think about the wicked man and what he will receive in the last day, and then you contrast that with the righteous man and what he will receive in the last day, you got to consider Galatians 6 as you talk about those verses that are 7 or 8, the law of sowing and reaping. Anybody that's ever put a seed in the ground and then enjoyed the fruit on down the road understands the process of sowing and reaping, and it's the same thing spiritually. And so that's what we're seeing with the good and the evil that's before us today in this discussion. You know, you think, as Richard continued there about verse 5, 6, and 7, you see the thoughts of the righteous, the mouth of the upright, these things that come from inside the heart. These are things that we need to understand are precious to God. And so we hone those words that come out of our mouths. We taste those things that come out, because if they don't taste good to us, they're not going to taste good to others either. And so we have to meditate on those things that are in our heart and make them better and better every day, receive reproof, build ourselves and make ourselves better every day, so that the words that we say are going to be a glory to God. And so use those things to glory, to the glory of God. The inner conditions of the heart are those things that Jesus spoke on many occasions. As he pointed to the Pharisees, he pointed to the corrupt nature of their hearts and said, those things that are in your hearts are ultimately are going to condemn you. And so we need to make sure that we have a pure heart. You know, as Peter said, we need to love one another with a pure heart fervently. And you might think of words like Paul would use to the Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, right? But what? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's Ephesians 4 and verse 29. So use the mouth and the heart and those things that God has given you to his glory. Verse 8 said, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. And then he contrasts again, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. You know, you think about people through the Bible that were good examples of that. Think about Joseph being exalted in Egypt, right? His brothers would ultimately be humbled, wouldn't they? Mordecai. Mordecai was honored, but Haman was hanged. What about Stephen as he was condemned by the people that were listening to his sermon? But the last thing that he would see before he breathed that last breath is Jesus standing at the right hand of God, appreciating what he had done, the effort that he had put forth. Verse 9, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. You know, we have an opportunity here to look at the opportunity of helping others. You know, we have the opportunity to work with our hands and provide for others. You know, nothing is so despicable as the individual like the rich man that we see talked about even by Jesus, who would build bigger barns and not give a thing to anybody else. You know, if he would have given to others, he wouldn't have had to build those bigger barns. He could have helped those that are around him. And so we have the opportunity to help others. And before Richard got to the end of verse 11, he noticed that the individual that is righteous appreciates the life of his beast. And anybody that lives in a farming community can see that. You know, we see these PETA commercials and SPCA commercials on TV all the time. Horses that are left out to themselves, no feed, no water, tied to a post or something, you know, left to die. And everybody cringes when they see those images. You know, you think about a passage that seems innocent, like Genesis 24 and verse 32, Laban. Notice how he respected the animals of the distant traveler. He girded up his camels and gave them straw and provender. And then it says that they would provide for the visitor. So as it's recorded here in Genesis 24, the animals were taken care of first. And so there is a basic understanding of appreciating all of what God has given us, even the animals. And then finally, Richard read, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, right? The individual that's willing to work, right? And God ultimately, over and again, Richard and I both talked about this, ultimately God is continually giving his stamp of approval to people that work, people that put diligence forth, people that will taste of the fruit of their hands. And so work is a good thing. And so the diligent individual will be blessed. In verses 12 through 23, coming on down toward the end of the passage, we see the wicked, the fool, and the prudent as contrasted here even by Solomon.
The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaims foolishness.
You know, as you think about Solomon having the idea or the opportunity to teach his kids and to reach down through the years and teach us, there's a lot of information in each one of these sentences. You know, you could take one of these power-packed sentences and you could make an entire series of sermons. And so the way that it's contrasted here is beyond me. I mean, obviously, this is inspired commentary, and we hear God speaking to us directly through these contrasts. And so as the son or the daughter would have the opportunity to listen to this instruction, what deep understanding, what deep knowledge we see. And we understand even how the Queen of Sheba would ride up to listen just to the wise counsel of Solomon. Truly, it is amazing. The wicked desireth the net of the evil men, but the root of the righteous shall yield fruit. You know, evil people, they usually know what they want, and they set their sights on obtaining it, and if they have to run over you to get it, it's not a problem to them. And we see stories about that all the time. My wife watches that ID channel from time to time. It tells about people that kill one another and treat other people harshly. And it usually has to do with some sort of internal lust, maybe a covering up of an embarrassing fact or something. But they know what they want, and they go to get it, no matter who gets in their way. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. How many times have you heard something slip out of a wicked man's mouth? And so we see that from time to time, this evil person falls in his own trap. His own words trap him. One lie has to be told to cover up another lie, right? Words of the lips has to cover up another lie. And so I thought, and we mentioned it yesterday just in passing on the program yesterday, but the way that it was mentioned even outside of the judgment hall, as Peter stood and warmed his hands around the fire with the gainsayers and the evil people outside. And two or three different times it was said, "Thy speech bewrayeth thee," right? They said, "You're a Galilean. You have been with him." Of course, he denied those three times. But the same basic fact is true. Your speech will tell about who you are. You know, you have these discussions. I have these discussions with the children on the bus from time to time, and they tell me things that I really don't want to hear. They tell me things about their parents. They tell me things about what they did over the weekend, and you just cringe sometimes. But their little mouths, they're just full of information. You might remember back in 2 Samuel 1, at the top of that passage, we read about the Amalekite that came to David, talked about Saul's death, and he thought he was going to get some sort of reward or some sort of a condemnation, but even the words of his own mouth got him killed. And so our speech can tell a lot. Our speech can trap us up and cause us certainly much destruction if we don't watch that. In verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. You know, as we talked about the idea of in the last passage, you know, the previous verse, it talked about the evil engendered by wrongful uses of the lips. This one talks about the blessing of good words, the blessing of using righteous speech. You know, it's been said that we ought not kiss our mamas with the mouth sometimes that we use to speak hate. And there's something to be said about that. You know, out of the same well cannot come bitter and sweet. And so we need to choose one or the other. And certainly righteousness is exalted. Righteous words and deeds, bring about rewards, right? And so we have to be a benefit to others, use our mouth to glorify God.
You know, Chip, that's why we know that James gives us such instruction about the tongue, to be careful about it. But the idea of that ensnaring, that the wicked are ensnared, sometimes even, the naive or the, you know, the quick to speak get ensnared. Over in Proverbs 6, he said, my son, if you have put security for your neighbor and you've given your pledge for a stranger, I spoke too hastily to say, hey, yeah, you can have, I'll vouch for him or whatever, this guy. And then verse 2, if you are snared in the words of your mouth and caught in the words of your mouth, then he tells him what to do. He says, you go and you plead with your neighbor quickly, about this. Mm-hmm. Deal with it, because sometimes our mouth gets us in trouble, not because of wicked intentions, but we end up somewhere. I think that's what we could even see in Galatians 6, brethren, you who are overtaken in a fault, find ourselves in a place we didn't intend to be. It wasn't with the wicked intentions that we're looking at here in this proverb, but our mouth can still get us in trouble, and we need to handle it and deal with it in the right way.
Yeah, we use poor old Peter sometimes in that example. He's always the first one to speak up.
Right, open mouth, insert foot.
I've been down that road before. Verse 15 begins, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, right? But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. That's Jeremiah 10:23. We don't have the ability to lead our own steps. We need God's instruction. And so the guy that puts Jeremiah 10:23 away and says, oh, I got this, that's the description of what's going on here, the fool. The fool that thinks he can do it without God, without correction, without reproof. Back to verse 1 again, the brutish man, right? The stupid individual, right? And so you have to understand that constant evaluation of self is something that is a benefit to every one of us. A foolish man's ill-speaking, a foolish man's wrath will come out in the most unexpected places. You'll be in the middle of a mall somewhere, and something will happen. Somebody will bump into him, and the things that come out of his mouth may even surprise those that are with him. But you are exposed in those things. And so what is in the heart eventually comes out, and the foolish man's wrath will certainly be exposed in due time. Mistakes are going to happen, right? We make mistakes from time to time. You think about Saul's hostility, how that came out even as he chased David around the country, right? How many times did David humbled him, but then he went right back to doing it again and chasing him around the country with his band of army there to chase David. Moses, what happened to him? Speak to the rock. Well, he hit the rock, his hostility caused him in that particular instance to violate God's will. And so it happens from time to time. And so don't be overcome by that. Don't do like Judas and go out and kill yourself, but do like Peter, overcome and then go out and repent and go on, confess and go on to bigger and better things. Look at what Peter did. Went on to be a great asset to the kingdom. And so we can see that there is the opportunity to stumble, but we can overcome that. Don't be the foolish man and just walk away from correction and instruction.
Chip, that fool's wrath is known at once idea. I like what it says over in Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quickly holds it back. Don't that be angry and sin not of Ephesians, don't let it out so quickly.
Absolutely. Sometimes isn't it better just to say nothing at all? Sometimes silence is a benefit. Sometimes speaking out is absolutely necessary, but sometimes just to hold our peace is a benefit. Sometimes when you visit with somebody in a nursing home, you visit with somebody rather in a funeral home or a deathbed, sometimes, you don't have the words to express, and sometimes just to sit with them and hold their hand is all you need to do.
Right. I was talking to a brother yesterday, hey, let cooler heads prevail. If we can't, if we can't have this conversation, or if we can't stop and pray about this conversation, we don't need to have it. Mm-hmm. Let's just move on and come back to it when cooler heads prevail. And that's that, you know, that idea of fool's wrath is not at once. He wants to just vent it out and let it go. And that's when we say things that we don't really want to say, you know, that we know will hurt, but event, you know, but we let them out without tethering that tongue, and they come back to bite us.
Mm. In verse 19 and 20, we see this idea of the lip of truth shall be established, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know, deceit is something that is just abhorred by God, right? That's down in verse, 22? You know, the lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. You think about back where we were at chapter 6, you know, those seven things that the Lord hates. Lying will keep you out of an eternal home with God. Lying is something that is an abomination. And notice in the latter part of verse 22, they that deal truly are his delight. He takes great pleasure in those that speak the truth. Ultimately, again, you see back at the end of chapter 7 of Acts how God is approving, you know, the act of Jesus standing and approving those words of truth that were spoken even by his messenger Stephen. And so he appreciates those that tell the truth and deal wisely. And then as he finished in verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. You know, open mouth, insert foot. Absolutely. There was this bumper sticker that we have had floating around the world for some time now. It says, I'd rather be thought a fool than to open my mouth and remove all doubt. You know, sometimes we just need to conceal a thing. We need to not be the first one to speak up, as Richard mentioned a moment ago, you know. When Herod examined Jesus, you remember that there was a time when Jesus said not a word. And so we can take great examples in that. We can see that which should be a benefit to us. Well, as time moves away from us very quickly, let's notice the last couple of verses of this chapter, verses 24 to 28, the diligent, the righteous, and the slothful.
The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death.
Mm. You know, I thought immediately, you know, when you start thinking about that verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at this, but it seems like ultimately, given enough time, the lazy man will end up being a slave to the diligent one. You know, we have the opportunity from time to time to maybe be traveling, and you stop, and this happened to me a million times, I guess. You stop at a truck stop to get gas or something, and somebody wanders up to you and asks you, hey, man, have you got a dollar? And so the lazy individual, the one that is, you know, call it panhandling or whatever you will, ultimately comes to the diligent person, the person that has a job, the person that gives diligence in their life on a daily 40-hour work week, asking them for help. And so ultimately we understand that laziness is no benefit to anybody. I was talking to one of our elders a little while ago. It said that he, most of his life, has had two or three jobs. Always had that many jobs. That's amazing to me. So you can work if you want to work. The problem is so many today are that slothful individual of verse 27. You know, this individual that's too lazy to take care of his own. And so we certainly know that God is not pleased with the slothful. Well, with the time that we have left this morning, the 20 minutes or so, let's try to do justice to some degree even of Proverbs chapter 13. A lot of good discussion already underway, and hopefully we can continue in that vein. But as we jump out into chapter number 13, Let's read, let's say, the first 10 verses together.
A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom.
Boy, you could talk for a while on verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. That's basically where we started in the last chapter, talking about hearing and not hearing. And so the wise, man, that sounds a lot like Matthew 7, doesn't it? You know, the wise and the fool. And so the wise person depicted by Jesus there at the end of that passage in Matthew 7 is the one who built his house upon the rock, those that did the will of the Father. And so, again, the same thing is being projected here. The wise individual here and now are going to hear instruction and certainly examine themselves and make correction along the way. Jesus, right? Hebrews 5, beginning of verse 8, he learned obedience, right? This is something that is reflected in Jesus' life. He heard and he obeyed. And so we need to follow his example, right? The scornful son that's mentioned, the scorner that heareth not the rebuke, you know, looks back, or forward rather, to where we haven't quite gotten. Proverbs 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction. And so we understand what's being told here. The wise person listens and does. The foolish person hears not and rejects. A theme that is preached from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. And so, again, as we touch through verses 2 and 3, we have to comment, certainly, again, here's the proverb, or the law about sowing and reaping. These are things that continually pop up in the Proverbs, teachings that continually pop up throughout the Bible. You reap and you sow and you reap. We understand this law. You know, you go all the way back to the garden with it. And certainly that is easily understood there. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Oh, I'd love to have this or that, but I'm just too lazy to work for it. I'm just not going to be able to provide. And so, again, you see that laziness is a benefit to no one. The righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame in verse number 5, right? righteousness is a protection. Righteousness is a benefit. Righteousness is pleasing to God. You know, the wicked people, ultimately, as you think about the underlying meanings here, the wicked man in God's eyes is a stench, right? And the righteous man, those that are walking in the light as he is in the light, those that are hearing instruction and making improvements, those that are examining themselves daily to see whether they're in the faith or not, those are the people that are a sweet-smelling savor to God. And so all of us, when we open up the refrigerator and you smell something stinking, what do? You want to get it out. You want to remove that stench so you don't have to smell it. And so that's the way we live and breathe here. We want things to smell better, right? We want to enjoy the righteousness. And so we keep ourselves around righteous people, right? We keep ourselves around that which, if you'll allow me that liberty, smells good. And verse 7, there is that maketh himself rich, yet has nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. I think basically, you know, you understand what's being taught even by Jesus. Those who are poor in this world's goods can be very rich spiritually. That's the way I like to see that particular verse. And those that are rich in this world, you know, with all their treasures around them, are most often morally bankrupt. And that's been true for a long time.
And very, you know, their miserable life. I mean, not only from the spiritual standpoint, but from, you know, they are not happy most of the time, you know. I think when I read this, there's the one who makes himself rich and has nothing. You know, he says, 1 Timothy 6, that love of the money is the root of evil, and some have coveted after. They erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made themselves rich, but yet they have nothing in the end. Or, you know, like the rich fool that Jesus spoke about in Luke 12.
Mm-hmm.
He says, thou fool, now who do these things belong to? They're not yours.
That's right.
And he says, so is he who lays up treasures for himself but is not rich towards God.
Can't take it with you.
That's what, you know, and Lot learned this lesson the hard way.
Mm.
You know, Genesis 13, he made the decision on wealth, making himself rich. And he lost all the wealth that he had. We know that he had wealth because they both had much substance, him and Abraham. He lost that, took nothing out of that city, lost his sons-in-laws, lost his wife, lost, you know, the purity of his daughters at his own bed. So he has nothing.
Yeah, there's a great contrast to be seen all throughout these Proverbs, and we're seeing a benefit that is being mentioned here. Even if you can just kind of close your eyes and imagine Solomon, you know, speaking to his sons, you know, this is great counsel that they would be receiving. And so it is that you and I receive it this morning. You know, pride that's brought up in verse number 10, get a man nowhere. You know, pride is a problem in people's lives. And if you don't agree with that, let's go ask the Edomites, how did pride work out for you? Being so very prideful, thinking that you were the untouchable ones. Well, I don't know where the Edomites live today. Maybe they've been wiped off the planet. Pride is a problem, and it'll bring about destruction in our lives as well. A few minutes left this morning. Let's go ahead and finish the passage down through, was it verse 25 here?
Okay.
And we'll at least have that under us as we come to the end of the program.
Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. A desire is accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He who walks with a wise man will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice there is waste. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. the righteous eats to be the satisfy to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want.
It's interesting the way we see the bookends here. In verse number one, the wise son and the foolish son, and then even as we just about got to the end there, notice that he that spares his rod hates his son. And so continual instruction for the child that would be raised in a godly home. And we understand, and, you know, you see the fallacy of this mentality in the world today. You're not allowed. When I was late to class in school, I got a whipping. And when I got home, I got another whipping, you know. And today you're not allowed to do any of that. And so you see where our kids are today and the slippery slope that we placed ourselves on. And so as he began this passage in verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity will be diminished, right? You think about earthly wealth and spiritual wealth. Back in, was it Matthew 6, that great Sermon on the Mount? You know, there is a difference between earthly wealth and spiritual wealth. And the person that spends their life building up their spiritual treasure is the one that's going to be blessed in the end, the one that will hear that, well done. You get to verse number 12 and see this discussion of hope. You know, hope, without hope, this life would be miserable, right? And so you look around and you see places like St. Jude's. You see the Ronald McDonald House. You see Wounded Warrior. You see Folds of Honor. You see all these institutions that provide hope for people. And that's exactly what we see in Jesus, that would provide hope for mankind. John 3:16, he would provide hope for an eternal rest, as he would promise to those that would just come to him in Matthew 11, beginning at verse number 28. So hope is something that we need. Hope is something that we live on. And hope, Romans 8, verse 24, is something that we are saved by. And so we appreciate the ability to have hope in this life. Appreciate what Jesus did for us. Verse 13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. That'll preach all day long as well. Jesus took time to preach that on many different occasions. And so we need to accept instruction. We need to instruct God's word. We need to have that instruction of God's word and learn to accept that reproof in our lives so that we can be better and work harder for him. Good understanding gives favor, verse 15, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Think about people like Joseph. Think about Daniel and his three friends. All excellent examples of principle. These individuals found favor in king's eyes as well, right? Not just God's eyes, but individuals that found favor. Jesus grew in favor, did he not? As you see in Luke's record, continued to grow in God's eyes and in man's eyes. And so we need to grow as well. We need to be aware of those things that will cause us harm and stay far from them. Because Paul said, you remember, the wages of sin is death. We earn, again, sowing and reaping, we earn the reward that we have tilled on this side of the eternity. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open to his folly. You know, the prudent man conducts his affairs according to knowledge. He doesn't just throw it into the wind. And so the same way we are to live our lives today, according to the standard that God has given us, is the way that we conduct our lives. There's always been those, you know, and always will continue to be those, my friends, that will receive instruction, and there's always those that are going to refuse instruction. That's just the way it has been and the way it will continue to be. You don't believe me? Richard and I have both spoken the same thing. Look at Acts 2 up against Acts 7. And notice that there's people that receive and there's people that refuse. Always have been and always will be. And then as he ended, we had the opportunity to hear again the idea of, you know, that's floated out there about the influence of a group of people You know, following a multitude to do evil, or walking with the foolish instead of with the wise. The way that the Psalms open up, right? We have the opportunity to follow the mob mentality. Turn on the TV for a few minutes and just look at all these goombas that are running around tearing down statues. That's the mob mentality. Some people don't even know what these people stood for or stood against, but they're believing the guy that's standing next to them and joining in the great hate fest that's going on. And so think back. Think back about individuals that were brought down in the Bible. Cain, Achan, Ahab, Judas, Jezebel, all these individuals in the Bible that refused instruction, all those individuals that listened to foolish counsel. And notice what the end of them was, and then have the opportunity here and now to apply it to our lives. Well, it looks like the clock has completely run out on us this morning. We're thankful that you've been with us in chapters 12 and 13. Richard and I appreciate your listening in this morning, and we're thankful that you love the Gospel Radio Network the way that we do, and hope that you'll continue listening throughout the day, because there's a lot of good programming coming. But we love each one of you, and we thank you so much for being tuned in this morning. And we hope that, as always, you have a great morning for the Master.
Listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.